there's the music that means we span the globe for stories wacky enough to qualify as knuckleheads in the news. And we begin down under in Townsville, Australia, where 3-year-old Kyle Cummings found 9 eggs in the grass on his family's property. Kyle, being 3 years old, didn't know what kind of eggs they were, but he liked them. They were pretty. So he put them in a plastic takeout food container, and then he put that in the closet of his bedroom. 2 days later, Kyle's mommy found the container, and it's a good thing the lid was still on it because 7 of the 9 eggs had hatched.
Oh.
And the container was filled with eastern brown snakes, one of the most venomous species in the world. The newly born snakes were 5 to 6 inches long. They can grow as big as 6.5 feet long. Kyle's mom called a wildlife specialist who took the snakes and released them into the wild. They're one of the most venomous, poisonous, dangerous snakes in the world, and you're just going to put them back out in the wild?
Yeah.
Australia averages around 3 fatal snake bites a year. Eastern Brown's responsible for the majority of them. Now we come back to this country and go to York, Pennsylvania, where Sean Verone went to the McDonald's drive-thru, ordered a hamburger. When he was handed his order, the burger had cheese on it. And Sean said, "I want a hamburger. I don't want a cheeseburger." The clerk apologized, said, "We'll make you a new one. Pull up over there." A couple minutes later, she comes out, hands him the bag. "Sorry about that. Here you go." Sean doesn't pull away. He does what all drive-thru customers should always do. He checked his order again. And sure enough, there was cheese on the hamburger.
Cheese!
Now Sean parks his car and goes inside, starts yelling at the workers, demanding a refund. They gave him his money back, but that wasn't enough for Sean. He knocked over a trash can, picked up one of the restaurant high chairs, lifted it over his head, and threw it towards some people at a nearby table. Then he stormed out. But Kathy Vasquez, the manager of that McDonald's, followed him to try to get his license plate number. And when Sean spotted her behind him, he allegedly grabbed her, put her in a headlock, grabbed a cordless phone from her hand, and smashed it on the ground. Kathy ended up with a sprained knee and a fractured tibia. When another McDonald's worker confronted him, Sean said, "You want to fight with me? I'll fight you right now." By that time, the cops had showed up. They arrested Sean. He's charged with assault, disorderly conduct, and destroying the phone. By the way, never got the correct hamburger.
Wow.
In Oak Park, Illinois, a college student got on the Chicago Transit Authority's Blue Line, and the train headed east. And just before it got to the next stop at Austin Boulevard, a man who had gotten on at the same time the college student had gotten on threw something in her face. A sock full of human excrement. She said, "It was the biggest degradation I've ever experienced. I wish he had just hit me. Would have been less traumatic." She also said, "The worst part is nobody had anything to wipe my face with." She found some newspapers and used those before paramedics arrived and gave her towels and water. As for the assailant, he ran out at Austin Boulevard. Hasn't been seen since, but the CTA has a pretty good shot of him from one of their surveillance cameras. Cops are circulating his picture, but they haven't found him yet. And we finish in Portage, Indiana, where 2 cops were chasing Tim Thompson as he drove 100 miles an hour, weaving down the road, switching lanes abruptly, almost crashed and turned over his Jeep Grand Cherokee before finally turning into the parking lot of Nativity of Our Savior Church, where he again nearly tipped over the vehicle, but only after allegedly doing donuts in the parking lot a couple of times. When the officers stopped him and asked what he was doing, Tim said he was late for his wedding and was only speeding so he'd get to the church on time, and he had been flashing his emergency lights and honking his horn to warn other drivers. While the cops were talking to Tim, 3 other people walked up and started yelling at him for his bad driving. They turned out to be relatives of Tim who were there for the wedding. While they were arguing, Tim got back in his car and started to drive away. One of the cops blocked him with a patrol car and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Oh, I thought you were done." Tim said, "I'm late for a party in Chicago. Now I'm going to have to drive really fast to get there." That's when the cops put the handcuffs on Tim, who had, by the way, just been released from jail earlier that day.
What?
Instead of getting married or going to a party, he ended up in Porter County Jail for resisting law enforcement, reckless driving, speeding, improper passing, and criminal recklessness. But at least he made our list today of knuckleheads in the news here on the Big 550 KTRS. Now, I have one final story to tell you that I think deserves a little more spotlight than that. And this is about a piece of mail that ended up in the mailroom at the University of Chicago admissions office last Wednesday. It was a journal addressed to Henry Walton Jones, Jr. Well, they looked through the faculty staff lists, and there is no Henry Walton Jones, Jr. They looked through the student list, and there's no Henry Walton Jones, Jr. And then somebody said, I think that's Indiana Jones. And sure enough, the character that Harrison Ford played in all four movies, Indiana Jones, real name, Henry Walton Jones, Jr., of course, Sr., was played by Sean Connery.
Yes.
The envelope that had got to the University of Chicago admissions office contained a detailed journal of Professor Abner Ravenwood, who's Indiana Jones' mentor in the movies, along with photographs and currency and maps, all fictional, of course. The stamps on the envelope were also fake, so they figured out, well, somebody must have dropped this off. It wasn't just mailed to us. Maybe this was somebody applying to the University of Chicago, and this was part of an elaborate way to get our attention or something right. like that. Then they thought, maybe the people who make those movies, like Lucasfilm, maybe they're doing this as a publicity stunt. So they contacted Lucasfilm, and they said, we know nothing about this. So they looked online, and somebody found their way to eBay, where they found a guy named Paul Charforis, who makes replicas of movie props and sells them on eBay. This particular prop you can get for about $200. They reached out to this guy, Paul Charforis, and he said, and by the way, he now lives in Guam. They reach out to him there, and he said, I did just recently make an Abner Ravenwood journal, but I mailed it to Italy, and it was in a much larger envelope, and it was properly addressed. How did it get to you? Then he goes through that day's mail and calls them back at the University of Chicago and says, I just received a postcard from the post office in Honolulu that the package that I had mailed had somehow ended up there, torn, and the package's contents had fallen out. And I think what happened is they saw the inside replica that I had made of the journal, which said Abner Ravenwood and Henry Walton Jones, Jr. at the University of Chicago, and they figured, I'll just mail it to you. They didn't make the Indiana Jones connection.
You guys can figure it out from there.
Isn't that a great story?
That's good.
I love that. This is the Big 550 KTRS.